Live from the Paragon 7 Studios, you are listening to the Lanch J Radio Network.
Paragon 7 Studios.
You're listening to the Lanch J Radio Network, featuring sports talk and entertainment excellence. A part of the HUR Voices Sirius XM 141 platform, I'm your host, the illustrious James Lewis, and it is always a pleasure to be with you broadcasting coast to coast globally, and of course, on Lanch J Plus, where we podcast every single segment of the show. On the heels of Mother's Day, and you guys have to bear with me, I'm going to get a little emotional here. I've been thinking about my mother a lot the last couple of weeks. She has been on my mind constantly. Every year on Mother's Day, I go to my mother's grave and visit her grave. Sometimes I leave some flowers there. Sometimes I don't leave some flowers there. And my mother has been gone for almost 4 years now. I know this has nothing to do with sports and entertainment, but I'm a human being first and a broadcaster second. I was Sharon Lewis's son a long time before I ever picked up a microphone. And if you're not familiar with this show, my relationship with my mother was very unique, and I want to briefly talk about it. I have Lyme disease. And I've had Lyme disease for about 15 years. So that's crazy. A third of my life, I've had Lyme disease. And you get Lyme disease from being bit by a tick. And I was bit by a tick and started developing these neurological symptoms. And ultimately, just to make a long story short, within 90 days of the first symptoms, I was unable to walk more than maybe 10 steps at a time. Couldn't walk, couldn't take care of myself, couldn't cook for myself. I literally had a friend take my ATM card and pull out a couple hundred bucks. And I would have people deliver pizzas to my house because I was too sick to go shopping for myself. I was too sick to even drive to a McDonald's or get fast food. And I would order a pizza and I would leave a $20 bill with a note on one of them little 3M sticky notes, saying, hey, leave the pizza at the door. Here's a $20 bill. Keep the change. Because I was too sick. I could not walk to the door and pick up a pizza. I could not walk to my mailbox to get mail. So I was really, really sick. It took a long time to figure out what was going on with me. And my mother took care of me when I was sick. My mother fasted and prayed. My mother drove from Huntsville, Alabama, up to Dayton, Ohio. I was working at Kettering Health Network at the time, moving up the ranks. And she took me to all of my doctor's appointments. And when I was sick, when I was under the treatment, when I had an IV in my arm, when I was waking up to vomit every night from 2 a.m. to 3 a.m. for almost a year, when I lost everything, when I defaulted on my car note, when I defaulted on my student loans, when people were spreading rumors about me that I had AIDS, my mother would not let me give up. My mother nursed me back to health. And my grandmother, who's also a part of this story. My mother got me out of the situation. She helped me get an apartment in Huntsville, Alabama, 10 minutes from where she lived. And she nursed me back to health. And she would take me to my grandmother's house. And my grandfather, who's also passed away since, I would lay in bed at my grandmother's house for weeks at a time. And my grandmother would come in, and she was in her mid-80s. At the time, my grandmother would come in and she would take care of me and she would cook for me and she would play the piano for me and she would encourage me and she would pray with me. So I love my mother and my grandmother. I would not be alive if not for my mother and grandmother. And I don't mean literally. from a family tree perspective, I would not have lived to be past 31, 32 years old had they not nursed me back to health. My mother, when we found the doctor that treated me, his name was Dr. Kenneth Singleton. It's in Towson, Maryland. We had to drive from Ohio to Maryland, and the Lyme disease made me very, very nauseous all the time. I was constantly nauseous, and I would have this motion sickness just riding for 10 minutes, and I'd be ready to projectile. And I was just like, I'm like, man, I'd rather die than projectile vomit and be sick as a dog all the way from Ohio to Towson, Maryland. That's a Baltimore suburb, like a 9-hour drive. My mother rented an RV so I'd be comfortable so that I could lay down. And she rented an RV and drove that RV. I'm getting emotional. I'm almost crying while seeing it. She drove that RV on I-70 and she whipped the hell out of that RV and took me to the doctor and got me the treatment that I needed to save my life, to save my livelihood. When I got back on my feet years later, after years of therapy, my mother encouraged me to go forward with my life, and she encouraged me to go forward with my career. And when I opened up Paragon 7 Studios, my mother said, son, I believe in you. Do you need any money? And that's the type of mother I had. That's the type of grandmother that I have. And so when my mother got diagnosed with COVID-19 a few years ago, she was vaccinated. She's the one that made me get vaccinated because I didn't want to take the vaccine. I was like, I don't want to be in the alpha. I work in healthcare. I know what's going on in those trials. I don't want any potential complications. Like, hey, I'm going to sit it out for 6 months and see what happens. My mother was like, if you want to come around me and your father and your grandparents, you're going to need to go hit that Pfizer or that Moderna. And when my mother got sick, I didn't worry too much about it. My father's health, actually, I was more worried about my father getting COVID and having complications. And my mother got sick and she just said, hey, Jay, don't come this weekend. I know that we were supposed to have dinner, but I'm not feeling well. I have COVID. Stay away. Yeah, I'm going to get some rest for a week and then we'll meet up. And I never saw my mother outside of a hospital again. A few weeks later, I got a call from my father saying that my mother had an ambulance come pick her up and take her to the hospital. And she never got out of that hospital. I've seen the spiral. I have experience as a healthcare executive. I know what it's like to be on the other end of that. I know what it's like to look at individuals who are sick, individuals who had COVID, individuals who are facing chronic illness, terminal illness. But watching my mother deteriorate and watching her on a BiPAP machine and then watching her on a ventilator for a month and then having to make the hard decision with my father to take her off the ventilator. It's not like the movies where you have this long conversation with someone that you love and they say, hey, son, hey, daughter, go forth and do great things with your life. My mom checked into the hospital. I had one more conversation with her that she could maybe talk for 5 minutes. She was on a BiPAP machine. She was mostly writing stuff down and I never talked to my mother again. She was on a ventilator. I watched her body deteriorate. I watched them put a feeding tube in her. I sat by her side and cried. I asked the doctor if they could take my lungs and give them to her. I waited for hours. I put the hazmat suit on because then at that time you couldn't go visit someone with COVID without the PPE. I begged God to take me and not her. I promised God that if you heal her, I'll do anything. I worried about what would happen to my father. I worried about what would happen to my grandmother. And while this was all going on, my grandfather passed away. My grandfather never knew that my mother was in the hospital with COVID. And my mother knew that my grandfather was sick because he was elderly, but she never knew that he passed away. They passed away within just a few days of each other. And after my mother passed away, I remember being at the funeral. My family just buried my grandfather. I remember being at the funeral and looking at my grandmother Ethel and saying, man, my 95-year-old grandmother went from having a husband and a daughter taking care of her to losing her husband and losing her daughter. And I was like, I guess I'm going to have to be my grandmother's right-hand man. And so for the last 4 years, almost, I've been spending my weekends with my grandmother and taking care of her. And she's very independent. She doesn't really need me. She needs me a little bit more now at almost 99. And she has a live-in person, but I bonded with my grandmother. And my grandmother, I tell her all the time, it's my grandmother has kind of become my mother. And like I used to sit up all night talking with my mother till 3 a.m. Now I sit up all night talking with my grandmother till 3 a.m. And I just wanted to say, as I get emotional, you know, for everybody listening out there, love on your mothers, love on your grandmothers. Love on the mothers of your children. Even if you're in a situation, you had a child with someone, you're divorced now, or you had a child with someone out of wedlock, and you didn't get married, you don't get along with them. These are the women that brought life. That brought legacy. Respect motherhood. I mean, it's just such a beautiful thing. We're all blessed to have these women in our lives, and you're going to have ups and you're going to have downs, but there's just nothing like the time that I spent with my grandmother, which is what I have left of my family. You know, I've been blessed to have some level of success and make a little bit of money, but I would give every penny that I have just for one more day with Sharon Lewis. And I wanted to give a tribute to her, and I wanted to just affirm my grandmother Ethel, because she listens to the show sometimes, that I love you very much, Grandma. And I'm lucky for the time that we've had together. HR Voices Sirius XM 141.
You're listening to the Lance J Radio Network.
You won't pay taxes on that money. So I think what's going to blow this up is 3-4 years in, somebody's going to get a couple of M's under the table in NIL, and the IRS is going to absolutely fillet them. And if they don't go to the NFL and can't make up that money, either you're going to be a rookie in the NFL or a second year in the NFL, and the IRS is going to be garnishing that arse, or you're going to go to jail.
Rampage, the first lieutenant of the Universal Flipmo Squad.
You're going to be suiting up for Oz. With Rick Fox and the guy in the wheelchair with the dreads. I can't remember his name. It was on The Best Man. You're going to be in Oz with Adam Beese.
You are listening to the Lance J Radio Network.
Anyone can struggle with mental health. Your daughter. Your neighbor across the street. Your boss. Maybe even you. We want you to know there's hope. Because there's 988. 988 is more than a number. It's a lifeline to call or text when you need help and don't know where to turn.
Hello, you've reached the National Suicide and Crisis Lifeline.
Call or text 988 day or night to get the help you deserve.
My new car. Please bring me good juju.
You need good juju?
Juju Watkins.
Check this out.
Wow, that is good, but I just wanted to make sure my car has coverage.
Oh, you don't need me. You need, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
A State Farm agent can help you choose the right coverage at a price that's right for you.
So who's up for some one-on-one?
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.